car, and I have a black silk, and I have a little issue because it's not supposed to be black. It's a rainbow silk because I use it for my message on Noah, and my last message was on Noah, but every time I put it back in the box, in the darkness, it turns back to black. And so the only way I can change it back into the rainbow, God's promise that He would never destroy the earth again, God's beautiful promise to us, I need to change it, and the only way it'll change is if you smile. That's it. It won't change unless you smile. And so I need you to smile for several reasons. One is I need to change this back to a rainbow silk just in case you decide to pick Noah this morning. I don't know who you're going to pick yet. On the other hand, most important is I need you to smile. You know, I'm kind of nervous up here and not sure how it's going to go, how you're going to respond. But when you smile, you make me think, at least, that you're glad that you're here. Now, some of you I'm not sure about. I'm still wondering if you're glad that you're here. But also, with a smile, you show that you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And we need to let the world know that we have the joy of the Lord in our heart. So we're going to try this on three. We're all going to smile, and we'll see if this will change so I can see your smiles. You ready? One, two, three. Nothing happened. Dave, Pastor, I guarantee you, there were several that sat there and they didn't smile. I know it. You know what? Some of the sourest faces I've ever seen are on Sunday morning church. In the 54 years that I have been preaching and doing programs and preaching and been an evangelist and a pastor, I've seen people, I would swear, they've been baptized in pickle juice. It's that bad. So let's try it again. Now, some of you did a great job. So those of you that smile, just make a bigger smile, okay? And that way, I want to change myself, but more importantly, I need your smile, okay? Are you ready? One, two, three. And everybody smiles, and just like that, it turns into a beautiful rainbow. You see, because listen to me, a smile and a kind word can change somebody's world. And a kind word that a couple of I've already received this morning made me feel like, you know what, we're going to have God's Spirit here today. And your smile makes me glad that I'm here, and I hope it makes you glad that you're here. Now, if you were here in Sunday school, you know that I try to open the program with something, you know, spectacular to get your attention and where you'd ooh and awe. And some of you never oohed and some of you never awed, you know. It didn't seem to quite go over, but I saved, you know, my big, big, you know, illusion. You know, this one that gets everybody's attention, you know, for the worship hour. And the only problem is I haven't got a volunteer yet. But I'll see if you volunteer, because what I like to do is, you know, I believe it or not, I've got the table here, is saw somebody in half. Now I tell you what, now I'm working on it. I mean, it usually works. Now, it may not work the way it ought to, but at least it works. We had a little problem the last time. You might want to see this. Next one. Help me. There it is. I didn't quite get him all the way back together, but it's close, okay? Some of you will get this tomorrow. This is a real tough crowd. But Duke's okay. He's still able to walk, but he's just kind of missing some parts, okay? So do I have any volunteers? No volunteers. Well, okay, we'll just move on then. I tell you what, this time I do have a problem because I am to present a message this morning using illusions, but I'm going to do a message. And I really didn't know what to talk about because I always usually share one of my favorite Bible stories. And, my mom was so good at teaching me Bible stories that I just love so many of them. So I narrowed it down to 6 of them, okay? You're going to pick the one. Now, you already know which one that the last crowd picked, but it'll be up to you to make a choice. Can my 6 volunteers quickly come? And we're going to let you, the audience, pick the one. Okay, my 6 volunteers. Now, we're going to have to hurry here because of time. Do we have 6? All right, we have six. Everybody get there side by side looking at. Now what I do is I have a prediction that I think that you're going to pick. You can go ahead and hold that prediction. Don't look at it yet. What I'm going to do is quickly give these to you. It doesn't matter which end we start. But just leave them just like that. Don't let anybody they don't want to come out. There you go. And just go ahead and hold them. And what we're going to do, there's six. I've narrowed down to six of my favorite, okay? And I tell you what, I talked to Bob ahead of time, and he said he probably couldn't see who was up here. And I'm going to ask him to make the pick simply because that way you cannot say, well, you know, I saw so-and-so, I wanted to pick so-and-so, or I think they had whatever it is. So, Bob, what I have up here is six people in a row, and what I want you to do is to pick a number. Just pick a number between 1 and 6. Okay, number, hold out. Hold that. Number between 1 and 6. You want 2. 2. Okay. Well, I tell you what. That's good. Why did you pick 2? The last time the gal picked 3 because she said that's the only further she can count. I don't know if that's you, Bob, or not. I wouldn't know. But I tell you what, I do schools more. I do lots of schools. And I said, well, anybody can count to 6. I mean, even little kids. But can you spell? Okay, so who can spell 2? You can? Good, I'm glad somebody can. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to spell it, and that will be it, okay? Okay, that's you, okay? Oh, right there. Okay, so you just hold that, and don't show it to anybody. Everybody else, open them up, and let's see who we did not pick. Okay, open them up, and show everybody the pictures. Okay, so who do I have here? Dan the Lion's Den. Well, we're not going to do Daniel. Okay. We got who do we have here? Moses and the Ten Commandments. So we aren't going to do Moses, and I love Moses because he was such a great leader. Daniel, it's kind of interesting because all summer long I was doing Daniel, so I was hoping for Daniel. Who do we have here? David and Goliath. Boy, I love David. Are you sure you don't want a different number? You want? It's too late now, isn't it? Okay, now who do we have? Joseph and the cut of many colors. That's, in fact, I know I got to really work on that because some of the VBSs will be that next year. And of course, well, forget it. I worked all that on the silk, but that's all right. I got you to smile though. Well, at least some of you. So we're not going to do Noah. Ooh, I was ready to do Noah. Okay, you made a prediction. You want to open it up? Let's see what we got here. You want to, and she's going to open up the prediction. This is who we're going to talk about this morning. Who was it you, Bob, you picked? Jonah and the whale. Okay, and what did I have there? Jonah. Okay, so she had Jonah. Okay, so we're going to talk about Jonah this morning. And like I said, I leave it those things. Thank you. You'd be seated now. Give them a hand. Now, I want you to know that if you look at the outline, if you look on the outline, it says, who will you choose? And you made the choice. Well, Bob made the choice. So I guess if they don't like Jonah, I guess who we get to blame? No, just kidding you, Bob. Okay, so take your Bibles and turn to Jonah. We're going to have to hurry, because there's a lot of things we're going to share from Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Are you ready? You got your Bibles there. While you're turning, I'm just going to give it to you very quickly. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying. Did you get that? The word of the Lord, God, spoke to Jonah and said, and gave him a message. Now, I have people all the time say to me, preacher, I wished I could hear from God. I wish God would speak to me. And you know what my answer is? It's simple. My answer is very simple, and that is, every day, God speaks to me. In fact, I try never to get out of bed without first hearing the voice of God. How does God speak today? Now, in the Old Testament, we know that He spoke to what we call prophets. Only a handful of people heard the revelation. But we find that Peter says, holy men of God spake and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? We have that complete revelation today called the Bible. And every time you open up the Bible, that's God speaking. As you heard, I believe it was Robert that was reading the text of 2 Timothy 3, where he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the maps. That's God's revelation. God speaks to us today. Now, let me just tell you something real quick, and that is this, that God today, you need to understand this, speaks primarily through the Word. I guarantee you, if you want God to speak to you, it's primarily through His Bible, the Bible. If you want to hear from God, and you say, well, does He ever speak apart from the Word? Well, sometimes He might, but there's two things to remember. Number one, it never contradicts the Word. So if God speaks to you outside this book, you want to make sure it's in harmony with this book, because He never contradicts Himself. And secondly is that if you're not in the book, and you're not in the Word, and you don't know the Word, don't expect God to speak to you apart from the Word, because you're not going to know if it's in harmony or not. I have people all the time say, well, God told me that, so they're telling me that, and I go, no, no, God did not tell you that, because that contradicts His Word. You see, there's the people who made that major mistake. You have a book called the Book of Mormons for an illustration. If he had known his Bible, he would have known that God was not adding or taking away from the book. But then, okay, but here's the point. Are you ready? But I have people all the time say, you know, preacher, I read the book. Okay, that's God's Word. But I read, and you know what? It's blank. It's just blank. It doesn't tell me anything. I read it and I don't understand it. And I say, I understand that. Because there's two things you have to do. And if you can't remember it, write these two things down. They're so simple. First, you have to pray. You see, Psalm 119 and verse 18 says, Lord, open my eyes that I might see the wonderful things you have for me from your word. Open my eyes until you pray and ask God to open your heart. You're not going to understand this book. You see, because it's just a blank book. It really is. Without the Holy Spirit and your heart open to the Holy Spirit, He cannot speak to you. You need to get your heart in tune with God and say, God, speak to me. Open my heart. Open my eyes. So let's do that prayer, okay? Are you ready? Let's just simply say, open my heart to receive your word. Are you ready? Together. Open my heart that I might receive your word. And all of a sudden, we find that the book is not blank. You see, all of a sudden we find that God begins to speak. So the first step in hearing from God is what? Pray. But there's a second word, pray and obey. You see, because God's not going to reveal any new things to you until you're doing what you already know He's told you to do. You say, well, I want to go deep. God's saying, you haven't done what I already told you. I mean, I've asked you to do this and you have not done it. So let's just say, Lord, I obey, and see what happens. Lord, I obey. And just like that, all of a sudden now, it becomes a very beautiful book, because now new things begin to... And all of a sudden, He just continues to speak. It's so exciting because I'm praying and I'm obeying, because this book is not empty at all if we pray and obey. Now, you see, I have people say to me, well, you know, I read the Bible, but a lot of it I don't understand. And I understand that. There's a lot of things I don't understand. And they won't read the Old Testament, you know. But let me just tell you that I have my scroll with me today. It's the scroll, because you realize that the original Bible was in scrolls. And so it had the Word of God, and they had opened it up. But the reason you really need to read it from Genesis to Revelation, because wherever you turn in the Bible, guess what? It's not empty. is telling about one person. That one person is Jesus. Because this book is about Jesus. It's not an empty book. It's about Jesus. So, if you want to hear the Word of God, open the Bible, and it will tell you. Because as Dr. Merritt said many years ago, and it took me a while before I really comprehended it, he said that 75 to 90% of everything you need to know about God's will is already revealed in the Bible. It's already there. So we need to dig into it. Well, let's go to verse 2. Are you ready? Verse 2 is what we talked about in Sunday school. Let's get to verse 2. And he said, now Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to rise and go to that great city of Nineveh and cry out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah, I want you to go as a missionary. I want you to leave your home back in Israel, and I want you to go all the way to Nineveh, and I want you to preach the good word of the gospel to them, because if not, I'm going to destroy them in 40 days. Now, if you look on the outline on there, is God has called all of us to be Jonahs. You need to understand that God has called every one of us to be a Jonah. Because God has called every Christian to go with the message of the gospel. In fact, our commission is far greater than Jonah's. Jonah's was just a Nineveh. Our commission, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Or Matthew, where he says in 28, verse 18 through 20, he says, go and make disciples of every nation. Make disciples of every nation. We are to go. Or as Dr. Luke said as he starts his writings of the book of Acts, in Acts 1:8, he says, you're going to be my witnesses, first at home in Albuquerque, then all through New Mexico and the United States, Mexico, Canada, Central South America, and the world. That's what Jesus said. It starts here. We are to tell people here about Jesus, but we're to go into all the world. Now, in Sunday school, we talked about this, and let me take just a few moments here, because this is kind of the thrust of my message this morning, is that what I do as an illusionist is to share the gospel. I find creative ways to share the gospel. We talked about fishing. We talked about having bait, because you see this morning that I would say that 95% of the people in this service today are already Christians. I'm not preaching to unsaved. So I have to go out. And with the magic, I can go into areas such as the motorcycle clubs I talked to you about. Get invited to birthdays. You understand, the first time I did a birthday party, they were Muslim? Yeah. When did you get invited to a Muslim home to share the gospel? But I have. To schools, government schools around the world, festivals, those city festivals, or other kinds of festivals. The list goes on, a way to share the gospel. And so this is what we do, is to share the gospel in a creative way, in which somebody says, hey, why don't you come to a magic show? We would love to have you in the midst of that. And let me share a couple of ways that I do that, okay? Are you with me? Okay. I told you that I would bring my Antigua offering bag. It's a lot prettier, isn't it? Yeah, it is. The only problem with it is that it, again, is empty. So we need to do what? Pick up an offering, right? No, that's all right. Okay. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to share one way that I share the gospel. But I'm going to need a volunteer to come up. Who's willing to come up? Who was the one that was so excited earlier to come? You're willing to come up? Come on up. Okay, as you realize, you know, the bag, of course, is empty. And what we're going to do is we're going to take this pirate silk. And you know why we use the pirate silk? Because the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 twice that we were dead in our sins. And that's the picture of the pirate, dead. Before Christ, outside of Christ, we were dead in our sins, which meant that we were headed for hell. That's bad news. The bad news is that we all are sinners, and we're all dead in our sins. But we need to change that, okay? So you want to take that and drop that in there, okay? And we'll put that in there. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take the one, we're going to change it, right? Because Paul says that in Christ we've been made alive. And so let's see what happens, okay? And I know that you were in the first service, and so, but this is for those that weren't. You're going to take the one, and what's going to happen? It's going to break. You already knew that. See, those of you that weren't in the first service, you know, I'm just doing it for you. Because every time I do a program, I tell you, there is no magic in a wand. There is no magic in those words that we say, abracadabra, alakazam, and have a banana, and all those good things. There is no magic in those words. It's a fairy tale. It's just a story. It's just, you know, make-believe type things. Because there is no power. Now, we did find that there were power in some magic words, please and thank you. And so I teach kids those words, and we teach kids all the time to use the magic word, please, thank you. But let's do the miraculous word. Are we ready? Well, can you wait just a second? I'm going to lay this down. Okay, I'm not going to do anything. You watch it, okay? Can you turn right here and watch this? Make sure that no one adds it. The reason is that we've been staying at a bed and breakfast, okay? Nice little bed and breakfast up the road. Run by the Rohrbaughs, and I'm sure they'd be glad to have you. The only problem is that this morning I didn't do any breakfast because I was pretty nervous. But it's already 12 o'clock, and I'm getting kind of hungry. So can I just stop for a minute? I brought a snack because I have to have one. You know, wait just a second. This is embarrassing, but I have to have a snack. And so I take the snack, and she made me a sandwich, okay? Are you ready for the sandwich? And there it is, just like that, okay. All right, I knew that'd wake you up. So you want to hold that? Because this is our salvation wand. This is not a magic wand, it's salvation, because what color is it? Red. Can you see that, Bob? It's red. We talked about the colors. Red, because red stands for what? The blood of Jesus that washes our sins as white as snow. Only Jesus, through the power and the blood of Jesus. So what we're going to say is, we're going to wave this over, and we're going to say the miraculous word, and that, of course, word is Jesus, because Jesus makes us alive. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Oh my goodness, folks, that's embarrassing. You're a Christian, and you can't shout Jesus? If you're not saying Jesus here, you ain't saying it out there. Let's do it again. Everybody shout Jesus. One, two, three.
Jesus.
All right, very good. Okay, that's great, and don't let me forget my wand. Okay, you want to reach in there and see what it changed to? Because we're not dead anymore. We are now alive in Jesus. Isn't that great? Jesus. Give her a hand. Okay. Jesus is the one that makes us from dead to alive because He washes our sins as white as snow. Now, I want you to make sure that you realize it is empty, and again, we have to prove to this audience that didn't see the early service that really is empty. Okay, you want to stick your hand down in there again? And again, I want to shake your hand and say it's so good to have you. Please come back and see my program again. God bless you. Give her a hand, okay? Just a simple way. Now, listen. At the very early of our, because I've been asked how long I've been doing this, and I told us it says 20 years, but actually the first 5 years I really didn't do a whole lot with it because there's so many good magicians out there and I just felt so embarrassed. But early in our ministry, we got invited to be on Good Morning Antigua. And it went all through the West Indies. And they said, okay, you're a magician, you need to come and do a program. You can, you know, you got 5 minutes. So I did two magic tricks, and one of those was this. You know, hey, you know, and I did a little bit different then, but that's okay. And then, of course, I told the salvation of the colors, and then we pulled out Jesus, and then they went to a commercial. And that was the second one I did, and the gal said, hey, that's great. Do you have any more with you? maybe not, but I can come back. And so we got to share early in our ministry on TV, Good Morning Antigua, like Good Morning America here, and Good Morning Antigua, which was through the West Indies. Then I began to realize the power there is in sharing the gospel through illusions. And so we do that, and that's the thrust of our message, is to say, I want to share the gospel. The gospel that Jesus makes us alive, and you can only be washed from your sins through the precious blood of Jesus that washes our sins as white as snow. Now, I want to do one more of that before we go on to our... because there's two other points I think we have. I use the colored silks to share the gospel, and I use the blue because blue stands for sin, because we blew it. Okay? Tomorrow you'll wake up and go, hey, that's good. Yeah, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got to make, and you know what? You can't go to heaven with your sins. And you got to make those sins disappear. So how are we going to do that? Well, as a magician, my friend Yak says, I could tell you how to make that blue silk disappear. So I've been practicing, okay? So I take it and we all do this. What do? We wave it up there and we stick in our hand, right? And we stick and we stuff and we stick and we stuff and we get it until it's there, okay? And he says, all you need to do is take a wand. And take your wand. I know, it's just a stick. But I couldn't afford a wand. So I took a stick, and he said, all you have to do is just tap it, and it'll disappear. And so I tap it, and it disappeared. No, it didn't. I said, Yak, I said, why do you do that? Because you know there's no power in a wand. He says, I know that, but do you realize how many people out there believe there's power in wands? They believe in magic. We're talking about magic of going to heaven. They think if they just go to church, I go to church, I'm going to go to heaven. Now, Christians, we go to church, don't we? But we don't go to church to get saved. We go to church because we are saved. So I said, my friend, Yak, that's not going to work. He says, here's what you do. You get a marshmallow, and you put a marshmallow on it. A marshmallow. I got to get some new marshmallows, okay? I will for next week. I got to get some more marshmallows. He said, okay, so take that marshmallow, and I'll take that, put it on a stick, and I'll take that and put it back in your hand, okay? So we wave it up there, and we stick it in here, you know, and we stuff. We got to hurry because we've stuffed so much. He said, now you take that, and you tap that with that marshmallow, and it will disappear. And sure enough, I tapped it, and it disappeared. I said, Yak, what are you doing? You know marshmallows, and a stick isn't going to do it. He said, yeah, but a lot of people are trusting in their marshmallows because they think, if I just give money, whether it's to the church or to charity, man, I'm generous, and because I'm generous and I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven. And that's going to get you heaven about as much as this stick. And that marshmallow is going to get you to heaven. So I said, Yak, what do I do? And he says, well, you just get another marshmallow. Okay, so I got me another one. And I put it on there. And so we're going to try it again. Okay. We got to get to heaven. We got to get rid of our sins. So again, we wave it out here and we stick it in here. We do all that good stuff that we do. And we push and we shove. And I take the two marshmallows in my stick and I tap it. And sure enough, it disappears. Man, it works every time. I said, yeah, why are you playing it? You know this is really foolish. It's not going to happen. He says, you know, it's not going to happen that way. He said, well, as a pastor, you know, you've heard all these good things about how people are going to go to heaven, haven't you? Just be a good person. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. And there's all kinds of marshmallows. They're using all kinds of sticks. And you know what? The sad thing is, they're not going to go to heaven. Because none of those things is going to get them there. So, he said, try it again. So I do what he told me to do. I stuff and I, you know, and I push and I shove and I push it down. He said, now this time, what you do is you get you a great big marshmallow. Great big one. Yeah, a big marshmallow. Boy, I found me a big one. What's wrong? That's not a marshmallow? Oh. Well, that's close. He says, take it. Are you ready? He says, take it and wipe it over your hand. Just wrap it around your hand. He says, and just like that, it'll disappear. I go, yeah, wait, how did that happen? He says, well, preacher, he said, I've been reading my Bible through the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, which is very popular today. That's in many churches today. I said, well, okay. He says, turn to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, repent and turn to God, and if you will do that, He will wipe away your sins. I go, wow, hey, that's neat. Jesus will wipe away your sins. And only Jesus can wipe away your sins. And every time I do that trick, and I do it all different kinds of ways, kids will say, well, what happened to that blue silk? And I go, I don't know, it's gone. It's gone, folks. But I tell you where your sins go, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, make a decision to follow Him and to be born again. He said they're buried in the depths of the sea, separated as far as east is from the west. They're forgiven, they're forgotten, they're wiped away, they're covered, they're remembered no more. But then He said something else that made me do this trick. He says, if you'll let Jesus wipe away your sins, one day you're going to go to heaven. And what's God going to do? Revelation 21:4. Going to wipe away all of our tears. I don't know about you, but I've shed a lot of tears. My heart's been broken many times. There's a lot of people that I've witnessed to Christ, dear friends, that said no. But He's going to wipe away those tears. Because that's what Jesus does. Now do you understand why we've been in 22 countries around the world telling people how they can get their sins wiped away, washed away, forgiven? And we can only do it through your help and support. And we hope that you'll pray for us that we can continue to do that. Now, we've got just a few more minutes. Let's quickly finish our talk on Jonah. We're all going to go be Jonahs. Now listen to me. You may not leave here. You may not leave here to be a magician. My wife was the clown, Snickers the clown. You may not go be a clown, but here's one thing everybody can do, because this is one of the easiest ways to share the gospel, is with just a simple balloon. I want to tell you this story, and again, I'll try to get together. We went to the Philippines for the first time after we started doing the clowning, the balloons, and the magic. Nick Stella says, we're going to go out this afternoon, we're going to go out into this area, and we're going to do a feeding program. We're going to feed about 200 to 250 kids. And then we're going to do, you know, give out balloons. We're going to do a magic show and share the gospel. Everybody says that people come because of the food. Folks, let me tell you something. You don't have to put out a bunch of money for food. All you need is get a balloon. Because we had the 200 plus kids there to feed, and then the clown began to walk around making balloons, and before it was over, we had over 800 kids and their parents simply because of a balloon. You see, because we make animals out of balloons, okay? And everybody wants a balloon. Now, let me ask. I want to make you, why don't you make an animal? You wouldn't mind having an animal out of a balloon, would you? You do or don't? No? No? Would you like to have one? Would you like to have an animal out of my balloon? Would you like for me to make an animal? Okay, you have three choices. Are you ready? Now you pick one. A dog, or a dog? That's a good choice. You see how that was? Now, that was an easy decision. Do you remember back when we talked about the Word of God? Do you realize when I said 75-90% of everything that you need to know about God's will is already there? Do you realize how many things, decisions I make every day I never pray about? I don't ask for advice. You know why? Because I already know I'm not to do this. I am to do that. This principle has told me to do this. This principle has told me not to do that. Pretty simple. Because 75-90% of everything you need to know. Pretty simple. So we'll make you a dog. But I'm going to make it a little harder for you. I actually make five. A dog, a dog, a dog, and a cat. No, I really don't make cats. You know, I used to make cats, and you know why we don't make cats?
No.
Because the dog ran the cats up the tree, and I couldn't ever get them back. So there it is. But seriously, I make a dog, a giraffe, a sword, a hat, and a snake. Oh, the snakes are great. You know, there it is, and there's your snake. Now, which one of those five do you want? Yeah, you had five choices. Which one now? A little bit harder, isn't it? So I tell you what you do. After service, you tell me what choice you made. I'll make that and I'll move on. But seriously. Now, you realize there are some choices a little bit harder, and we hope to close with that if I hurry, because we need to understand that not everything is in Scripture. So how do I decide what to do when the Bible specifically does not direct me on that issue? Okay, we're hurrying up in there. And what's the next point we've got to go to? What's the dumbest thing I've ever done? Now, I don't want you to tell me, but we've all done dumb things. And if you say no, then you just did a dumb thing because you lied. We've all done foolish things. Jonah in verse 3 did a very dumb thing. Very foolish. It says he goes to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. He gets a ticket in Joppa, and he gets a ticket to go to Tarshish, which was the opposite direction of Nineveh. It says to flee from the presence of God. Folks, you can't do anything any dumber than that. Because you can't run from God. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're doing. He knows, in fact, is it Romans 2:16? It says that one day God's going to judge the secrets of men and women by Jesus Christ. He knows what you're thinking. Don't even try it. It's not going to work. And so, Jonah says, I'm going to flee. And you know the story, don't you? We're going to quickly go through it. I had one thing I want to do there, but because of time, we'll quickly go on. You know the story. He goes, headed to Tarshish, and what happens? A storm comes, and they throw him overboard. He gets swallowed by some big fish, whale, sea monster, whatever it was, it says, and God prepared him. Now, the next thing on here we're going to say, you know, some people try to run from God, and if you're trying to run from God, folks, listen to me, you're not going to do it. If God's calling you, see, I know a lot of people that are running from the will of God. You see, let me just stop here a minute. Let me tell you. Do you know why I love to preach on why Jonah's really my favorite Old Testament Bible character? I mean, maybe the most. You know why? Because I'm married to Mrs. Jonah. You see, because when God called us, as Pastor Dave was saying, to leave First Christian Nevada, Missouri, God was blessing our ministry. Sally and Dave had come to be on staff with us. I mean, God was really blessing. And then all of a sudden, about a year and a half after we're there, all of a sudden God says, you're going to the West Indies. You're picking up and moving. I mean, you're saying goodbye to First Christian, to your home, to your family, you know, to America, and you're moving. And she said, I ain't going. And it's quite a story to how God storm, little storm, to kind of change some thinking. Now let me tell you the rest of the story on that is the safest and happiest place you can be, whether you believe it or not, is in the center of God's will. Because we stayed in the West Indies a lot longer than we planned on it, because we begin to love the West Indies, and she loved the West Indies more than I did, and she could tell you story after story of what God opened up for her to do. She met some amazing people that we would never met otherwise. So if God's leading you somewhere and you don't want to go, you'll say, okay, Lord, I'll go. Because the safest and the happiest place in the world is in the center of God's will. Don't try to run from God. So the storm came and he gets swallowed. And the next question is, the next one up here would be on there is, how do we know this story is true? You see, because everybody wants to laugh at the story of Jonah, don't they? That's not true. You can't believe that story, etc., right? Let me tell you why, three reasons you can know it's true. Number one, because it's in your Bible. Number two, because Jesus said it was true. Remember there in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, they said, show us a sign. He said, I'm not going to give you a sign. And then he says, yeah, I will give you one. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Jesus, now folks, if Jesus said it was true, guess what? It's true. But that's only half the story. Jesus didn't say it was true. He proved it was true. You see, because of the resurrection of Jesus, He proved, just as He was 3 days and three nights in that tomb and came forth alive, we know then that Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights, just as the Bible says, because he came out alive just as Jesus did. And I always like to illustrate that. And I have a Jesus silk. And everybody on the front row, you want to take that and show that Jesus silk. And then I want to show you the empty tomb, okay? You want to reach in, like one of the women, and reach in and see it's an empty tomb. It's an empty tomb, but they took Jesus and they nailed Him to the cross. There He died on the cross for our sins. But then they buried Him in the tomb. So there, you want to bury Him in that tomb. There He is. He's in that tomb. He's there for 3 days and three nights. On Sunday morning, that what we call Easter Sunday, there's an earthquake that came, tore it apart, and guess what? When they looked inside, it's empty. Because He's gone. Because He's alive. He's alive. And He's alive forevermore, and one day He's coming back soon. And so we know that Jonah's true. We know He's true because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you need to know that He is alive. And one day He's coming back soon. As I look at the clock, my time is up. I don't have the last point that I wanted to make. I don't like to do this because, you know, who's going to not raise their hand? You know, give me three more minutes. And everybody goes, oh, you know. It'd take about 3 minutes to finish this. But I do need a volunteer. Somebody will come up. Without a volunteer, you want to come up? Because I want to do this, because my favorite verse, the whole book, is chapter 3 and verse 1. What does it say? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God is a God of the second chance. Folks, I want you to understand that. You mess up, God's got a second chance. You want to just stand over here. And the reason is because I'm going to be behind you in a minute. I have two boxes. One is empty. Okay? It's empty. The other one has money in it. Okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn my back and I'm going to move this from one to the other, and you're going to decide which, try to pick the one with the money. Okay? You're going to make a choice. All of us make choices every day. Some good, some bad. Now, if we're going to make the right choices, the Bible tells us the right choices. But Jonah made the wrong choice. Let's see what you do. I'm going to do this real quick because, you know, I don't want you to see what I'm doing. Okay, I think I got it. Okay, which do you want? Do you want the blue or the red?
The blue.
You want the blue. So you think the money's in the blue? You made the wrong choice. Because it's actually
in the red.
Now, let me ask you, why did you pick the blue? You thought you'd switch the money. Yeah, that's good. You know, we make a lot of choices just on what we think. We try to get the facts, made a choice. You know, he probably switched it, da-da-da. And we do that. Sometimes, you know. But maybe, let's try it one more time, okay? We're going to switch it again. We're going to see what happened. Okay. Now you get to do it again. Now, see, Jonah got a second chance. You missed it the first chance. You did not get it the first chance. We're going to give you a second chance. You see, God is a God of second chance. You know, she thought this was right, but it was wrong. She made a wrong choice. But God says, okay, I'll give you one. So I'm going to give you a second chance.
Blue.
Blue. Oh, my, she's going to do blue again. She's raised on blue. Now, why did you pick blue again? That's good. Now, let me ask, if you were going to help her make a right choice, what are some things that would help her make the right choice? What are some things we need to do to make right choices? One starts with a P. Come on, let's do it. Hurry. Pray. Yeah, sometimes we need to pray. You know, God, help me make the right choice. And and God will help us. Now, there's times that also Proverbs says that we ought to do something else as well when we really don't know. We pray, we still don't know. What's some other thing? What's another thing to do? Proverbs says, in the multitude of what? Counselors. Folks, let me tell you something. Is that all of us need to be asking mentors for advice. All of us need to say, you know, I've been praying about this. The Bible really isn't clear on this. I've been praying this. I believe this. And you ask some godly Christian people. So let me ask you, just to illustrate that, I want to help. How are you going to make the right choice? What are you going to have to do to make sure you pick the right one? You can pray. And that definitely that'll help. But in this case, it's not going to help. Okay? So what else would you need to do? Come on, help her. Oh, come on, kids are smart in this. There's only one person in this whole audience that knows which one's going to be in. Who is that? Thank you. Three of you got it right. I'm the only one. So here's what you're going to do is you're going to ask me to help you. Okay, I'm going to move them again, and you're going to ask for help. And I'm going to help you pick the right one, okay? Let me move it. Because I don't know which one. I already know. Okay, so which one are you going to pick? Now you got to remember, what are you going to do?
I'm going to ask you.
Okay, and I'm going to help you. So what you do is I'm going to look it in your eyes, and the first one that comes to your mind, that will be it. I'm helping you. Which is it going to be? Go ahead, tell me. Blue! See, I knew she wasn't going to change because blue is finally in the blue, okay? And guess what? We moved it from the red. You may be seated. Thank you, and give her a good hand. Now, why do I take that time to do that? Why I think that's important? Because choices. I gave her a second chance. I gave her a third chance. God's not just God, the second chance, the third chance. And I helped her make the right choice. I hope that you will make the right choice. I've shared the gospel with you today. I've challenged you to do God's will in your life. The choice now is yours to do what you need to do. I can't make it for you, but you know what the right choice is. We've told you. We hope that you won't be Jonah in this way. I hope you won't make the wrong choice. I hope you'll make the right choice. Are you thinking? Is there something maybe you're saying, you know what, I've not been doing what God really wanted me to do, but I'm going to do it today. I don't know what it is, but let God do that as Pastor comes at this time.